This morning's reading is taken from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 20, from the NIV. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinus was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Thank you, Patricia. This must surely be one of the most familiar stories in the Bible. I love to read it and to think about it and to think about the people involved. Have you not tired of the Christmas story yet? It's wonderful. It's worth reading again and again and again, just marvelling at what God did. So that's our focus this morning. The story. Judea was under Roman occupation, and the emperor, as they are inclined to be, was always eager for money. And so he ordered the registration to enable the poll tax to be collected. Remember the poll tax? Well, that was a different poll tax. This was a one commissioned by the Emperor of Rome. Maybe that's a minor feature of the story, but maybe not. For by this means, this census, God used that means to ensure that the Messiah will be born in the right place, in Bethlehem. All the details of this story are planned out and implemented by the Lord God himself. Then there's Joseph, one of my heroes, descended from King David. And because of the census, he was required to make the journey to Bethlehem. Mary was with him, pledged to be married, and legally considered to be married, but the marriage had not yet been consummated. In our culture, that sounds a bit odd. But in many cultures, marriage is not just one afternoon or lunchtime service, and then it can take place over days, weeks, even longer, different aspects of marriage. So Mary is sometimes referred to as his wife, sometimes his fiancée, his espoused, but legally considered to be married. And Mary was heavily pregnant. The time came for her baby to be born, right there in Bethlehem, that God had planned and engineered at this time. So Mary gave birth to her firstborn, a son. What a son. She wrapped him in cloths, that's what she had available, and laid him in a makeshift cot. Then there were the shepherds. Now some see the shepherds as members of the marginalized society of the day. But actually in the Bible we see a number of renowned shepherds. Right back to Abel, who was killed by his brother Cain because he was jealous of the favor with which God looked at him. Abel was a shepherd. And of course, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they were all shepherds. All the patriarchs were shepherds. Maybe not Joseph. He started off as a shepherd, but then he became prince in Egypt. Moses himself, the great prophet Moses, spent 40 years as a shepherd, looking after his father-in-law's sheep, not even his own sheep, looking after his father-in-law's sheep. God considered that good training for leading God's people through the wilderness into the promised land. I often wonder about that, you know. 40 years looking after sheep as a preparation for leading God's people through the way they've got to go. Then, of course, there was David, great King David. How did he start off? First read about him. He was discounted by his father and his brothers and sent to look after the sheep. When Samuel said, "Don't you have any more sons?" "Well, there's David, he's out looking after the sheep." So maybe shepherds have become a bit marginalized by then. But God had marked out David, shepherd though he was, to lead his people. So these humble shepherds were in good company as they looked after their sheep. Maybe in the same fields where David had looked after his father's sheep in those days. Bethlehem was David's hometown. So I imagine that those shepherds may well have been in the same fields that David had shepherded in. There's so much history tied up in these words. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And they were not to know that the one they would see that night would later on, 30-something years later, call himself the Good Shepherd. So don't despise the shepherds. Lord Jesus associated himself with shepherds. But to these shepherds out in David's fields, there appeared an angel. What he looked like, we don't actually know. Apart from the fact that the glory of the Lord shone around him, didn't it? No, We even get that wrong. The glory of the Lord shone around them, the shepherds. The angel didn't need that, but the shepherds did. So the glory of the Lord shone around the shepherds. All those wings and white robes and halos and all those things that we give to the shepherds, they're all conjecture. We don't actually know. I'm not saying they're wrong, but doesn't say they're right either. That was not what was important. And that's what grieves me sometimes at Christmas. That we forget what is important. All the trappings. Yeah, they're good. They're okay. But if we forget what's really important, it's so sad. What was important was the message that the angels came. The message. Listen to it again. The shepherd said, "Do not be afraid." Good thing he said that. "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be the sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And next, a great company of the heavenly host appeared. The first Christmas party. You talked about that last year, so you can't talk about that again this year. Anyway, that was the first Christmas party celebrating the birth of the Lord Jesus. These angels, I imagine them, angels I don't think live in our time and space. You know, God created time and space, and we live in this time and space. Angels are not in this time and space. They're in somewhere else, I don't know. But somehow, they're so excited. They burst into our time and space with the news. What did they look like? No idea. What did they sing? They didn't. Doesn't say they sang. They might have done, but it says they said. What they said was, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests." Do you get the excitement of these angels? Wherever they came from, they burst into time and space. They're so excited. They burst in and say, "Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God." They're just overwhelmed with what they know and what they see God is doing. Then they left. They were given... It's a good job God doesn't give the angels permission to spend too long in our time and space. We would get confused. In fact, people have been confused over the years, and some people have ended up worshipping the angels rather than the Lord God himself. So they are kept out of our time and space, mainly. So they come, they deliver their excitement, and then they're gone. And the shepherds shake their heads. What's all that about? What do? They say, "Let's check it out." It's a good thing to do. When you get news, check it out. And they've been told how to do it. They wanted to see for themselves, so they went to Bethlehem and found the baby just as they had been told. Then they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. They told everyone who would listen. I can imagine those shepherds going out. I don't know where they went, down the pub or whatever. I don't know, but wherever they went, they were telling people about their wonderful evening and what had happened. It's not every night they see angels. Some people would say, "Oh yeah, too much to drink again." But other people would have been listening and say, "Oh, wonder what that's all about." Of course, they weren't to know for another 30 years what it was all about. Let's go back and focus on what the angel said and what the heavenly host said. "Do not be afraid. I bring you what? I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You We'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And then the heavenly host, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. Now these verses can include two of our candle themes, joy and peace. The angels talk about this, so there's nothing modern about the candles. Joy and peace. Good news that will cause great joy for all the people. And on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. The first candle, hope, not included explicitly, but it's implicit. Since the angel was announcing the arrival of what the people have been waiting for. They have been hoping for. They have been looking for the Messiah. So hope, peace, and joy are all included in this story we have of the angels appearing to the shepherds. But the message is okay. We get lots of news these days, don't we? And part of our struggle these days is to know what is really true and what is fake news. What can we rely on? What can we believe? And if you've got a formula for working out what to believe, what you watch or what you hear, what you read, then let us in on it. Because the rest of us, we struggle. We hear things and we don't know whether it's true or not. So, the news of hope, peace and joy, if it had no foundation, it's worthless. It's just conjecture or whatever. Proclaiming joy and peace is okay, but without some substance, the bold proclamation is not enough. There must be some grounds for hope. And the foundation of joy and peace and the grounds of our hope is our fourth candle for today. Love. Without the love, the rest is meaningless. The love that brings hope, peace and joy is not the weak love that we humans experience between ourselves, love in the family, love between friends. Good things, but that's not what he's talking about here. The basis of hope, peace and joy is the love that the Apostle John talks about in various places and gets excited about. I do too. One of my favourite passages, Pam says, oh, they know that. They know what your favourite passage is. What's my favourite passage? 1 John 3, verses 1-3. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called, what? That we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are what? Now we are what? Test time. Oh dear, like the boys' brigade on Thursday. Now we are? Well, that's not what it says here, but I'll accept that one. Now we are children of God. And what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. All who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. See what great love the Father has lavished on us. I love that translation of this verse. Lavished on us. We're coming into the Christmas season, and perhaps we think about lavish, I don't know. When I have my Christmas pudding, Pam found a Christmas pudding from last year that she had forgotten about this week, so I'm looking forward to that one. But when you have the Christmas pudding, what do we put on it? I lavish on the Christmas pudding. Cream, yogurt, custard, all of those things. Sometimes separate bowls, but you've got to have different helpings, but sometimes all together. But lavish, you pour it out lavishly on it. And that's God's love. That's God's love, poured out lavishly. See what great love the Father lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. One thing to be called children of God, but John doesn't leave it there. He says, and that is what we are. The love represented by the fourth candle is lavish love. Love that holds nothing back. Love that brings us into the very family of God. I'm told, so you've seen my son, I'm told that my son looks like me. I'm told that even my daughters have similarities, poor dears. And that is God's purpose for us. This is the direction in which God's lavish love moves. That we should not just be in his family, but that we should be like him. That we should be like Jesus, the very Son of God. And that's his great purpose. That we should be like him. That's the extent of his love. That's why the angels got so excited. This wonder was not available to them, angels. Angels will never be remade in the image of God himself. That's not for angels. Like I said, they're not special enough. But it's true, they're not special enough. Their excitement was over the critical phase in God's wonderful plan for men and women, that we should be like him. That we, men and women, young people and children, should be progressively like him. And then when Christ appears, it'll be complete. We should be like him. The family resemblance will be clear at that point. Hence the angels get so excited. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. Those on whom his favor rests. Become like him. Peter tells us that even angels long to look into these things, but it was withheld from them. Well, that night the angels got a glimpse and were so excited. They just had to burst, as I said, into time and space and shout, glory! Are you excited over the news the angels brought? We ought to be excited. John had more to say about this wonderful love of God. Alongside this Luke passage, one of the most familiar, most read passages, we have the most read, most well-known verse, John 3:16, of course, talks again about the love of God. For God so loved the world, that's us, that he gave his one and only son, that baby, born, laid in a makeshift cot, gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. This is the love that we celebrate today. This is the love that came down that first Christmas. The love of a God who sent his son into time and space to be born of a human woman. Sent by the Father to become fully human, to be fully integrated into the human race, to become one of us. Why? Why? Why did God send his son? Love. He sent his son to save us. But why did he send to save us? Because he loved us. Because he loved us. That's why God sent that baby. Because he loved us. Don't ask me why. That's the biggest mystery of all. Why he should love me. Why he should love you. But he does. That's the message of Christmas. That's the message of the angels. So this Christmas, every time you see the baby in the manger, there's a models down there with the baby in the manger. Every time you see the baby in the manger, every time you sing or hear sung about the baby of Christmas, stop and think. He's there because of me. Because of, not just me, but you too. He's here, he's there because of me. He's there because he loves me. He's there in that crib because he loves me. And he's there on that cross because he loves me.